I lead the song this morning. Those refreshed my heart. I felt the presence of the Lord coming in back there, and that's really wonderful. So let's stand together to read the word, Revelation chapter 6. Don't mean you haven't stand up and down, but I didn't want you to stand that whole time as I was going through that. So Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, speaking of the first seal. And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw him, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation chapter 10. We'll just start at verse 5 down to 7. An angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. I'd like to continue the seals revealed, and we're going to speak on the first seal today. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for filling your word once again, where you said where two or three would gather, you would be here, Lord. And Lord, we can feel your presence here, Lord, even as I was out in the sanctuary, you know, just spending time with you, getting ready for the service, Lord. I just love when you come by and just give us that arm of love and just let us feel your presence, Lord. It's so wonderful. You don't have to do these things, Lord, but you do it because you want to. Father, and I believe you're here. You want the people of God to be victorious. You want the sick that are here to be healed. You want the lost to be saved. You want the ones that are downtrodden to be lifted up, Father. You said strengthen those feeble knees and stand on the word of God, Lord. We come here to be fed again, Lord. Lord, we can only live off manna from every day, Father, and we need a fresh meal this morning. I pray that you speak through my lips, Lord. May it not be necessarily whatever I would think or say, but what you know the people have need of this morning. Lord, and I pray that the hearts of the people would be open, that they might receive the word and allow you to change our lives into what they ought to be. Commit this service into your hands now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I did forget one thing. Sister Shirley came. She was here on time, and then she said, "Oh, I left my billfold at home, and they're leaving for Michigan, or at, I think it was Cindy's house." So she wanted to go back there and get it before they took off with it, but she couldn't get in. So that's where she's at. But pray for her that she can get back and hear the word this morning. I'd like to preach on the first seal. And before we go into this first seal, let's look at that. Let's go back to Revelation 6 again. And I want to pull out a few things here. The first seal, if you read through the other ones, it's got one part in it that's a little bit different. For instance, if I look at verse 3, it says, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.'" The same with verse 5. He says, "When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.'" Verse 7, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.'" But when you read the very first part, which is the first seal, Revelation 6, 1, and he says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder." Now, it doesn't say that on the other ones. So what this means is all these seals were sounded at the same time. It was one thunder, and seven came out of that. It was one initial blast. And then these things started coming all at the same time. John was, boom, first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal. One thunder. So we look into the Bible, and I'm gonna explain that in a minute. I know that we're going to get into Revelation 10 about the seven thunders and how that all comes together. But a thunder, if we turn over to John, what a thunder is in the Bible, John chapter 12, that's St. John, not 1 John. John chapter 12, verse 27. John 12, 27. "Now is my soul troubled." This is Jesus speaking. "And what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this hour came I unto..." Excuse me, "but for this cause came I unto this hour." Verse 28, "Father, glorify thy name." Then there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. And the people therefore that stood by and heard it, and that it thundered." Some said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." So when this voice came down Jesus was praying to the Father and he said, save me from this hour, because he was coming to the crucifix. It was time for him to fulfill his word. God fulfilled his word, and he said, Father, glorify thy name. And the voice came back and says, I have glorified thy name, and I will do it again. And it said, the people said it thundered. So when it thundered, it was the voice of God speaking. When God speaks, there's a thunder behind it, which means it's packing power. God don't have thunder without lightning. When you hear thunder, it's because lightning struck somewhere. So when God was booming out his voice, they said it thundered. So when we look at the seals being opened, it said there was a noise of thunder, which means it was God speaking this. It said that the Lamb opened the seal, and there was a thunder went forth.
Yes.
Amen. Coming out of the first seal. Now let me read this slowly here. Then when the Lamb took the book and broke the first seal. Let me emphasize that. Every time Brother Branham talks about the seals being broken, he says the Lamb broke the seals. He never said that the seventh angel broke the seals. He said the Lamb broke the seals because he was the only one worthy. Nobody else could open those seals. Nobody else could look into those things. It took the Lamb. But since the Lamb died and put his blood on the covenant and then took that same blood and put it on you, you are now worthy to look into these things.
Amen.
I'm going to skip ahead. I'm just going to follow the Spirit here. Moses, back in Exodus 24, let me just read this. Listen closely. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. So he took the blood of the sacrifice, he sprinkled it on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. And said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Amen. So God looked at his, he had his covenant there in the Old Testament. Moses took the blood and put it on the covenant. And then took the same blood and put it on the people. What was it doing? Identify that the covenant was for this people.
Amen.
The same blood that made it worthy for Christ to take that book out of the right hand of the Father is the same blood that washed us that we could see into that same book as well.
Amen.
Because remember when when we talked about the breach and how God was standing on the throne with that book in his hand and nobody could look into it. But then the Lamb came out of the throne. Christ came out of God because it's the same person in a different manifestation. God the Father was above us. We couldn't approach him. That person sitting on the throne alone became a man that we could touch and handle and talk to.
Amen. Amen.
And that same man that was God turned around bloody. They said, where is the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed? And they just looked and they said they found a Lamb that was bloody. So he couldn't even take the book because he was a man without the atonement being there. Because he identified with us so much that he became a sinner.
Amen.
Christ became a sinner for you.
Yes.
Look, saints don't go to hell, they go to heaven. And Christ went to hell.
That's right.
Because he became a sinner. Not because of his own sin now, because of our sin.
Amen.
And if you could believe that Christ took your sin upon himself and said, I will pay the debt. So you don't have to be a sinner anymore. Does this bore you this morning? Do you understand that's the most important thing that ever happened in the history of this planet?
Amen.
We are left over here on a chasm, all doomed for hell. Moses, doomed for hell. Elijah, doomed for hell all the way down. If one man wouldn't have stood up and said, I will take the book,
amen,
we'd all be lost.
That's right.
Why do you think John was weeping on that day? He knew it was he knew that. He was standing there going, what? They can't find a man? They said they looked all of heaven. He's like, none of these are worthy. Nobody can take this book. We're done. I'm done for.
That's right.
But praise be to God. And it wasn't some second person. It wasn't some third person. God himself stepped down, became the sacrifice, and said, I will take their place. And he still was bloody. Hallelujah. Turned around and grabbed it.
Amen.
And took that same blood, just as Moses did, and sprinkled it on the people.
Amen.
And said, you are now part of the covenant of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen.
This was only made possible by the blood. That's why you could not see the seals until the blood was made.
That's right.
And when you get to the revelation of the seals, you realize that Paul had the revelation of the seals without even the seals being written yet. Because the revelation of the seals aren't some seven doctrines we came up with. It's a person.
Amen.
The revelation of these seals, what was in there was Christ. It was showing who Christ was. Paul knew that, but he didn't know it was seven seals. He didn't know these things, it wasn't even written down yet. But he still had the revelation.
Amen.
Because the atonement was made to show that the sons of God were always in Christ.
Amen.
We had to be saved in that regard, because when did the Lamb die? Christ died before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Before any of us sinned, before any of us existed, before any of us even thought we had a need, Christ already paid for all the needs we'd ever have.
Amen.
and the people walking around sad. I don't understand this. Christ has already paid for your joy. He's already paid for your healing. He's already paid that you wouldn't have to worry about dying and going, oh man, am I going to hell? Am I going to heaven? You can know where you're headed.
Amen.
It's called a token.
Amen.
It's called the ticket to heaven. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Look, if I had a ticket right here to go to on the Delta airplane, I don't go in there going, oh, I wonder if they're going to let me on. I wonder if I'm going to be able to get on this plane. I mean, I got this ticket and it says I can. It's got my name, but I just don't know. Isn't that the Christian church anymore? We're sitting here with the promises of God. It says, unto you, whatsoever you ask, I will give it to you.
Amen.
And we go, oh, Jesus, does he really? Does he really want to heal me? Does he really want to take this sin out of my life? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe this is just my thorn in the flesh.
Ouch.
The thorn in the flesh Paul had was in literally his flesh, not in his spirit realm now. It was his body. He had aches and pains in his body. And God allowed him to have it so he could remember, hey, buddy, you're still human.
Amen. Amen.
Anybody been up in that third heaven yet? I ain't been there. Paul had. Paul went up there and he said, I saw things you can't even talk about down here. You don't think he was starting to feel, you know, I don't know how many visions he had, but if it was anything like Brother Branham, he was in and out of visions and places. He didn't know where he was half the time.
Amen.
And I'm sure that's why he had a thorn in the flesh. Go, nope, still on earth. Still on earth. Still feeling sick. Yep, all that pain. Ugh. And then his eyes would get to him and he couldn't see. And yep, not in glory yet. Still got a work to do down here.
Amen.
So as we approach these seals, just remember, it thundered it all at one time. All these revelations came at once. There was one thunder, and in that was seven messages. This was only made possible by the blood, and don't never forget this. It's not complicated.
Right.
It's not hard. It's not to where you can't grasp it. It's so plain, you'll walk right over the top of it before you miss it.
Right.
Because you study too hard. No. That's the problem. You're trying to figure it out.
Sure.
Don't figure it out as Christ. He will show you.
Amen.
Remember, Jesus said the same thing in Luke 10:21. He says, In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes.
Amen.
You know what? Your children believe you, don't they? You try to lie to your kid and try to get them not to believe that until after they see it work through. They're going to believe you because they're babies. Babies don't have their own thoughts. Don't you want to be a baby for Christ?
Amen.
I don't want to have my own thoughts, Lord. I just want to take yours. Whatever you said, I want to walk in that.
Amen.
I don't want to get to the place where Christ can't correct me no more. Where Christ can't tell me that I didn't know something. And a lot of times the ministers act that way, don't they? Oh, I already got it off. Oh, you can't. That's not the way I preach it here. Well, maybe that's what the Bible says. You might be wrong. And if at any time, and I leave this door wide open, and I say this, be humble. If you think I'm wrong on something, and you can show it to me right here, I will consider it. I'm not infallible, church, but I know one who is, and he took my place.
Amen.
And as long as I ain't so stubborn that God can't do something, God will be able to use my life. It goes the same for all of us.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus. So this will come in a way that's so simple that those are, oh man, it's got to be this, it's got to be that, it's got to be, no, you'll miss it every time. Let God interpret His Word the way He wants to interpret it. When God said, let there be light, all of us could have probably come up and said, oh, I wonder what light is. I bet it's this, it's that, it's this, it's that, it's this. No, just let it come past. Oh, look, there's light. Because God brought it the way He wanted it.
Amen.
We talked about John the Baptist before, how it said that this great old man would just take mountains and just wipe them down. He would take valleys and fill them up. And here comes a man wearing sheepskins and goatskins, got a leathern girdle and he's eating bugs. And that's the man that did it.
Uh-huh.
See, don't come in with your own mind. Let God interpret His own word. So when I watch at people going, oh, it's just going to happen like this and this and this, I go, well, let's throw that one out the book because it ain't going to be that way.
Right. Be sure of that. Amen.
It's not going to be some way that somebody figured it out and picked it up. No, it's going to be the way God said it would be. He said He's coming as a thief in the night. You ain't going to prepare everybody for a thief coming in the night. He's only coming to those that are ready. And it's to the individual. It's never to a group. He doesn't just save everybody in this church just because you come here. He saves individuals. The church is made out of individuals that have had the same experience that come together in Christ.
Amen.
Not into a denomination, not into a church, and it will never be a denomination. It's not the message denomination doesn't make you saved, just as much as the Pentecostal, the Baptist, it doesn't matter. You have to be in Him.
Amen.
In Christ. And the only way to be in Him is to receive the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The Bible tells you how to do that very plainly in Acts 2:38. It says, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. Again, we're sitting here with a paycheck right here. It's got my name on it. You know, if you write me a check with my name, I ain't afraid to go sign it and take it into the bank, because they're going to give it to me. How much more the bank of heaven that said it's unto you?
Amen.
The promise is unto you.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise. And for us fathers and mothers and to your children. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it. Oh, my son's only a year and a half, almost 2 years old. It don't matter. If the Lord's coming, he's going with me. Because the promise is unto me and my children.
Amen.
I'm taking them with us.
Amen.
Just like Moses said, Pharaoh said, your men can go, but keep your families here. And they said, no, we ain't leaving one hoof behind.
Amen.
We're taking it all.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We'll get to that first suit in a minute. It's always in simplicity, church. And even that promise right there, people, oh, you know, if I apply the token, I got to do this and this and this. No, just live for God and believe His Word.
Amen.
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 I put them under the blood, Lord. I can't save them, but you promised that they will be saved.
That's Amen. Your promise. Amen. Amen.
So I confess it. I pray for them. I believe it, Lord. And don't pray every day like you have to re-pray it again like He didn't answer last time. He answered you the first time. Start thanking Him.
Amen.
Thank you for saving my family.
Amen. Amen.
You watch it come to pass.
Sure.
And even the grave don't stop that, church. My grandma, I'm sure, prayed very many times for that man right there. And even me before I even got here. We're here today.
Amen.
Why? Because God is faithful.
Amen.
The promises unto you and to your children and as many as afar off, even as many. What? How's that go again?
As
the Lord our God shall call. See, every time I get preaching, I know these scriptures by heart. And I get up here, and it's so far from my own thing that I can't even remember it.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord is faithful. I believe He's providing for somebody's needs this morning, Amen. Because this is Amen. All free.
Amen.
All this is free.
Amen.
Praise His holy name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there was one I wanted to read here. Now watch this, because everybody, oh, there's a stigma about the seven thunders and the seven seals. Oh, it's just so deep. It's so hard to understand. It just doesn't make sense. You got to get the revelation. And you realize, no, that's just your own private revelation. It doesn't even match up with the Word. It's completely contrary to everything Brother Branham ever taught, or the Bible ever taught, or Jesus ever said, and it's garbage.
Amen.
Watch, Brother Branham's here in God's simplicity. This is what he preached for the seals. Now, don't forget that. If the angel of the Lord will break them seals forth to us, remember, it's sealed with them seven mysterious thunders, showing that the seven seals and the seven thunders go hand in hand. I'll explain that in a minute here. See, now why can't people believe the simple simplicity of a humble bunch of people see and the voice of the signs of God? Why can't they believe it? Just like it always been. The true word of God being made manifest. They're too smart and too educated to believe the simple form of the written word. We got two figured out. Can't just take it the way it says it. Oh, you know, God heals sometimes, not all the time, you know, because of this, this, and this. If you don't feel a chill bump or if they didn't anoint you this way or that way, you ain't going to be healed. That ain't what the Bible said. It said that anyone that came to Jesus, He said they all went home well.
Amen.
Said the same in the book of Acts. It said they healed them, everyone.
Everyone. Amen.
I just take the simple word and go, well, I guess it's to anybody, huh? Anybody that wants to believe it, come on. You'll walk out of here well.
Amen.
Amen. He's the same. But they get too smart and too educated to believe the simple form of the written word. They want to put their own interpretation to it. It don't mean this. It don't mean that. See, it does mean that. Listen, may I say this right quick now? Even the vision that God gives here at the place, it's so misunderstood. That's the reason you hear me say on the tapes, say what the tapes say. Say what the visions say. Now, if you're wide awake, you'll see something, see? I hope I don't have to hold it in my hand to show you, see? It is here. We are at the end. Yes, sir. Smart education will miss it. The simple visions, when they're revealed in such simplicity, till it just crosses right over the top of the people's heads, see? So as I approach this, I'm doing this very sincerely, very reverently to say, it's going to be so simple. You're going to be, that's all it was? That's all it is? This is the greatest thing that ever happened, and that's all it was all about? Yes. It's just like when Christ came last time. They're like, there's a baby out in a stable, and that's going to save us from the sins of the world?
Yeah.
From that family down in Nazareth? That's like being from downtown Detroit. Scum of the world. Coming out of there? What? Reminds me of another man from the hills of Kentucky in some little barn getting born in a, don't even got a hospital bed for him. And God's going to use that man to preach to the world? One that didn't couldn't even, hardly even survived his first few years of marriage because he wanted to kill himself after his wife died? That's the one, huh? So simple, you'll run right over the top of it. Oh, a little church in Defiance, there's 20 people. God's going to do something supernatural here if you'll believe it.
Amen.
If you quit looking to us and circumstances and, oh, God can only move in this and God can only move in big numbers, God can only move in small numbers. Quit putting boxes. Quit interpreting God's word. If you believe, it will happen.
Amen.
Every time. Because we're not trusting in ourselves. We're not trusting in our own merits. We're trusting in what Christ did on the cross. Even when it comes to these seals, you can't reveal the seals without the atonement being there. You can't even present it.
Right.
Bloodless religion. I've heard people say that. Oh, it's not the blood anymore. It's the revelation. What is that nonsense? If that blood wasn't shed on Calvary, the revelation means nothing to us. I'm going to keep saying this until every person I know believes it. If the seven seals would have been revealed before the blood, all it would have done was tell you you're a son of God heading to hell.
Uh-huh.
Because we all deserve to go to hell without the blood of Christ.
Amen.
But since the atonement was made, it washed away the sinner that you were. It actually separated you so far to where it's not even you now.
Amen.
And God was able to show you, no, the real you was in me before anything got there.
It's true. I believe that. Amen.
God's word is perfect. It was done just the way it had to be. God is smart. He knows how to do things. Now let me get into this about this. All right, let me. I'm kind of jumping around, but I hope it's still feeding you good. Let's go back to Revelation 10 real quick here. We'll start at verse 1 and work our way down. Revelation 10:1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open. So let me stop right there. Before we read, remember the book was sealed. It was in the right hand of the Father. The Lamb came out, took the book, and loosed the seals. And now you see the angel of the Lord, which is none other than Christ in an angel form, come down with the same book in his hand. Did you even catch that? He said, a little book. You see how simple God is? This book was so dwarfed in his hand that John may notice it's a little book. And it was the most important book in the world. And it was a little book. He had his hand a little book open. It's not sealed no more. It's been opened. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And I'll get to it in a minute, but those seven thunders, John had written down the seven seals, but they were all in symbols, which means he didn't even know, he just wrote down what he saw. It didn't make any sense. He just, oh, there's a white horse rider, there's a black horse rider, there's this and that, whatever. But when these thunders uttered, he went, oh, that's what it is. That's what those seals were. And it hit all seven, boom, 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 told all of them. You say, oh, John didn't know that. I'll tell you in a minute. The prophet said he did. Verse 4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. So if he didn't know what those thunders were, what was he going to write down? Isn't that plainer than day? He had to. I'm about to write. But he said, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. So it's not that the seals were still sealed. Look, he had opened them. He had thundered out what they were. They were sealed because of revelation. He says, I'm not given the revelation yet until he tells us when. He will say it, when he's going to do this. Verse 5, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. So he said, seal those things up, John. I know you know what they are, and I know it's burning you up. You want to go tear the countryside with them thunders.
Amen.
Seal it up. But, no, it will come around now. It's going to come back in the voice of the seventh angel at the end time. I will give it back out freely.
Amen.
Just in case you think that's my own word, I'm going to read it from the prophet so you understand this. Questions and answers, 64. Have the seven thunders, which equals seven mysteries, already been revealed? Were they revealed in the seven seals, but are yet not known to us as the thunders yet? So they're saying, the seven thunders, was that revealed in the seals, or do we not even know what they are yet? No, Brother Branham. They were revealed in the seven seals. That's what the thunders was about. They was to reveal the seven thunders that had uttered their voices, and no man could make out what it was. John knew what it was, but he was forbidden to write it. He said, but at the seventh angel, in the days of his sounding, the seven mysteries of the seven thunders would be revealed.
Amen.
And the seventh angel is the messenger of the seventh church age, which is what we're living in now, the end time. Feast of the Trumpets 64, talking about the same scripture here. It says, he put one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, and swore by him that lives forever and ever that time should be no more. And when he did, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, John said he was about to write. Then he said, God, don't write it. See? And he sealed it. Now someone said, well, that seven seals then, Brother Branham, that'll be revealed in the last day. Some great mystery, how we can get closer to God. No, sir, it can't be. Which means they were trying to think that this would have to be something outside the Word that we'd have to add to the Word. We know the Bible forbids that in Revelation chapter 20. You can't add to the Word. And then Brother Branham right here said, no, sir, it can't be. Whosoever shall take one word from this Bible or add one word to it, his part shall be taken in the book of life. What is it? Is a revelation on what has been missed back there to bring to, it's already wrote there. It's in here. It's to reveal what's already been written, see? Because you can't add one thing to it or take one word from it.
Amen.
So as we approach the revelation of the seals, it is the thunders. What it is, it's just like, you know, the book that he saw was not like a book we have now. It was a scroll. And if I took this, let's say I've rolled this up, and I sealed it up, I would put a seal here to where you couldn't see in here yet. That'd be the seventh seal. And then I'd put another one on top of that, do the same thing again. Put another seal down, there's the sixth seal, all the way down until it was to the first seal. And then when he opened, see, we could read the seal. We could read what it said on the outside. Oh, white horse rider, this, and that. But once you tore off the seal, you could see, oh, that's what that means. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something new. It just told you what the seal said.
Right.
Because we thought we knew. We said, oh, White Horse Rider. And even Brother Branham himself in 62 preached that the White Horse Rider was Christ. Mm-hmm. Wait till we get into it. He ain't Christ from he's the most opposite he could be from Christ. So in that, you can sit there and read it, come up with your mind and try to figure it out. That's not what it was. But when God stepped down and revealed what that seal was, that was the thunder that uttered out. And all of them came at once. Remember, there was one thunder. And seven thunders came out. It was one cry. And seven messages came out.
Uh-huh.
Brother Branham preached the seven seals in a span of a week. If you take that same time frame, and you trust my math here, I worked on it a few times, and I might have had something wrong in there, but you just work with me now, right? If you take 7 days and use that, the Bible says a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day with the Lord. And you use that same conversion, do you know how long 7 days is to the Lord? I got 1.7 seconds. So, you can't hardly utter something in 1.7 seconds.
Gotcha.
You see how I was saying, oh, it came in seven. No, it was all boom. Here's the seven seals. And the seventh period to God was a second and a half. And we go, oh, why is the coming of the Lord not here? All this stuff happened 40, 50 years ago. All this, what's going on? That's like a couple minutes. To God, coming in a couple of hours. That means if he's getting ready to leave heaven, that means he's already on his road. You know, we got to start getting around. We got to get the things here.
Amen.
Even if he's got another 20 seconds, we got a couple years to wait in our time. God's ways are not our ways, church. So I hope you understand that these seven thunders, the seven thunders went out at one time, but it was in a period of 7 days in our time. All right, now let's get right to the first seal. So go back to Revelation 6, and we're gonna just go right down the line here. If you have any questions about those things I said, let me know, please, because as we go into the other seals, I'm not gonna rehash all that. You know, that's the platform for all the seals, what it's all about. It's the seven thunders that are given to the church, which showed us what the seven seals really, what they really were. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe all seven are open now.
Amen.
All of them. Not just six, not six and a half, kind of the seven. No, they're all open. They were given because the mystery of God has to be finished, which means there can't be anything still sealed up to the believer.
That's right.
Could you imagine how much power we'd have if we believed that all the things that God wanted to reveal to us have been freely given?
Amen. Amen.
Not because of what we did, not by power, not by might, but by His Spirit.
Amen.
Have we these things freely. And if the Spirit of God dwell in you, you are an heir to all things that Christ ever died for.
Amen. It's true.
Not will be, you are right now.
Amen.
Now we are the sons of God.
Amen. Amen.
Revelation 6:1. When the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts said, "Come and see." And I saw and behold a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So we're given a few clues into what this is all about. First, it's a white horse. A white horse stands for righteousness, stands for holiness, stands for purity. So, well, that's why most people look at this and go, oh, that's Christ. It's a white horse. You know, that's what Christ. But if you look at the difference here, what did this white horse rider had? He says, and him that sat on him had a bow, and it stops, which means he has a bow, never says he has any arrows. Which means he can't do anything. What's the point of having a bow with no arrows? It's worthless. What, are you going to whack him with it? Doesn't mean anything. Let's go to the real Christ now, down to Revelation chapter 19. Hold your spot in both of those. We're going to go back and forth here a little bit. Revelation 19, a little Sunday school. I want to make sure we understand these things. Revelation 19, verse 11. Down to 13. All right, we'll go to 13 now. We'll probably go to 15 here in a minute. Excuse me. Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. So we got a white horse in Revelation 6, we got a white horse here in Revelation 19. Here's the difference. And he that sat upon him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. This man over here in Revelation 6:1 has a bow with no arrows. He's a bluff. He can't do anything. He can just intimidate you with his bow. Not Christ now. Christ is on a white horse, and he pulls a sword out of his mouth, and he's coming to judge and make war. Which means that Christ has a power. The first thing that the revelation of the seals is the devil is a chump.
Amen.
That's the first thing God wants us to see is the devil has been taken care of. I died for the sins of the world back there. I went down to hell. I kicked the devil in the face. I took the keys and I came back. He's done for.
Yes.
Quit letting him bluff you.
Yeah.
That was the first thing he came by. But look, he's on a white horse. Which means he's trying to trick you. He's trying to say, see? It's inoffensive. It's pure and clean. It's just like Christ's horse. Then you realize, no, he wants me dead.
That's right.
What is that white horse? What is that all about? I'm going to read this out of the first seal now. Brother Branham preaching now. And notice, Christ is not seen anymore from that time, but he is on a white horse. So if this guy is riding a white horse, he's only an impersonator of Christ. See? Get that? Notice, the rider on the white horse don't have any name.
That's right.
What did it say about the white horse rider over there? He's faithful and true. He has a name that no man knows by himself, and he is called the Word of God. Which means we might not know his name, but we know what he is. He's the Word, and we call him the Word.
Amen.
Amen.
But this man over here, he ain't got no name. He's just a nameless rider. He might have two or three. Oh, I should just read that, shouldn't I? I forgot that's where I got that from. He might use two or three titles, but he hasn't got any name. But Christ has a name. What is it? The Word of God. That's what it is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. See? The writer has no name, but Christ is called the Word of God. That's what he is. He's called that. Now, he's got a name that no man knows, but he's called the Word of God. This guy isn't called nothing, but he's on a white horse.
Uh-huh.
So that white horse, remember, this is Satan's first tactic, and God gives us the explanation of what it is. It's inoffensive. It looks so close to Christ that he's got the same beast. He's not riding a donkey. He's riding a horse. It's the same color. It's white. Looks just like it. But if you look, if you start getting into it, first, there ain't no blood. Remember the right horse riding on there? He said he was still covered in blood. There ain't no blood to this man. Which means that it was getting away from the blood religion, getting to just intellectualism. He had a bow, which means he's packing a bluff that don't do nothing. There's no reality to it. It falls through every time. Christ was not. He was packing a two-edged sword that works every time.
Amen.
So what is this? What is this white movement of this beast, this rider on this white horse? Watch this first seal again. Oh, what a shrewd thing he is. Here he is. Now we got a picture and know that he's Rome. We know that he's the white horse rider. We know that he went forth as a doctrine. So what is this inoffensive movement? Oh, it's just a nice little doctrine. Shouldn't we love everybody? Didn't Christ tell us to make the church one? So we should pull all together. And yeah, we're going to have these little feasts, and they're kind of pagan, and you know, but let's all come together. Isn't that just what Jesus wants from us? No, Jesus wants fellowship, like we preach Wednesday, with himself. Which means if you're leaving the Word, you've left Christ. You can't have fellowship with him no more. So when they were coming and bringing in these thoughts and these little doctrines, these little funny feeling things, and saying, no, we're going to establish a church based on this, the spiritual mind picked up real quick and said, we're not to add one word, take one word from it. And they started adding in all these things. Oh, we're going to celebrate the Son of God's birthday. Aren't you happy? Yeah. We're going to put it on the same days as pagan feast. We're going to change the entire type of Christ, because Christ was not born in December, church. He was born in April when lambs were born. Mm-hmm. He was born in the time when the Lamb of God would come. And if you put it back there in December, even the time frame don't make any sense anymore. His ministry is not long enough. Or it's too short. He's supposed to minister for half the week, 3.5 years. And if you add that on there, it's either too long or you go the other way, it's too short. Doesn't even make sense. And all these are just inoffensive, just little doctrines. We're just here to love everybody. Isn't that the same thing going on right now? Well, you know, we're supposed to love everyone. Yeah, you are. And you love them enough to say, hey, buddy, you're heading to hell. Not because I'm saying that. It's because the Word of God says this. You're living in the things of the world. The Bible says if you love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So don't tell me you have the love of the Father and you love the things of the world and you live in the world just like everybody else. You're a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. What did this doctor come in and say? He said, no, that's okay. As long as you come to church. As long as you pay tithes. Because, you know, that's their paycheck now.
Right.
People have sold out for so little, you'd be surprised. I bet when we get on Judgment Day, we're going to go, you fool. You sold out the gospel for literally one meal? Isn't that what Esau did?
Yes.
Sold his birthright for one meal.
Amen.
He couldn't even get to the place to repent about it.
Right.
So he tried to. He tried to find a place to repent. He just couldn't do it. He sought it carefully with tears. And he still said, nope, I did the right thing. Look how stubborn the serpent seed is.
Amen.
You can't talk him out of it. Cain was sitting there and God said, look, this is the offering I want you to give. Here it is. It's real plain right here. Boom, 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 boom. Do what your brother did. And he said, I will not do it. I've got to figure it out. My way's better than yours, God. And he actually did it right to his face. You wonder who else would stand up and do that? Only the devil and his children.
Right.
Anybody that's got any inkling of God would have been, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Mm-hmm. Not that man. So what was this? It was a doctrine. He says, and then what? I'm reading again. And then what was pagan Rome converted into papal Rome and crowned? As we talked about earlier, this man has no bows. He has a bow but no arrows, which means he's nothing but a bluff. Satan's teeth were knocked out at Calvary. He ain't never had them since. He goes about as a roaring lion, but Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's got teeth. He's got sharp teeth, actually. They're called his word. Because remember, out of his mouth came the sword. And he ain't afraid to use it against sin now. He will.
Yes.
And if you reject your day of grace, guess what? You ain't going to see some humble little man step up. You're going to see a man with an army behind him coming to destroy everything else.
That's right.
And that's what they're going to do. Remember, they came against New Jerusalem and he just wiped them all out.
Uh-huh.
So don't tell me you got this little passive God that ain't never going to do nothing. Oh, God is humble. God is gracious. God has given us mercy. But if you spurn mercy, you have chosen judgment.
Uh-huh.
And God is just. If you're condemned and you deserve it, you're going to get it there.
Right.
That's the picture. Everybody got it messed up. Why would God make people and send them to hell? No, God didn't do that. We chose to go to hell. It was God that came down graciously and said, I will make a way back by my own choice. Nobody's twisting my arm. Nobody's telling me I got to do this. I will willingly make a way back. And then people don't want to take the way back. They think that they were born good. Anybody here born good? I wasn't. I was born a liar, a thief, an adulterer, everything else.
Sure.
Then you want to say, oh, I never committed adultery. The Bible said if you even looked at a woman in lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Amen.
Why did Jesus come? He came to magnify the law to show you this is completely impossible for you to be this holy.
Amen.
You can't do it.
Yes.
Because they might have walked around and said, I never committed no adultery. And then Jesus say that, and you go, well, we're done. Do I need to hide down here real quick? I'm just telling you the word, church. But Satan ain't nothing but a bluff. He's just a little coward. He's looking like Christ. He's trying to be offensive. But if you stay with the word, you'll be able to discern him every time. The devil don't even got any power. Do you understand that? You have to give him your power before he can even use it against you.
Amen.
You say, oh, I'm sick. Well, did you tell him that you're sick? That's where he got the power to be able to make you sick. Because you have the creative power within you if you're a son of God, because that seed is from God. And God's the only one with creative power. So if you use your power to save the devil's life, that's what you'll get.
Amen. It's true.
And you're sitting there fearing cancer. You wonder why you get it. You put your faith in the devil's fear, and that's what you get. If you just take that faith and put it in the Word of God, you won't have to worry about them.
Amen.
Christ will take care of every time because he actually loves you.
Yes.
The devil hates you. He does. He hates you. You remind him of Christ every time he looks at you. Especially when you start living him. Especially when the Holy Ghost starts moving through you. He hates it. Remember Brother Bram said when he deserts somebody's face and he could tell that the Spirit was going to cast that devil out, he said, you should see those people's faces when that happens. Them devils don't like it. They don't like getting exposed. They like hiding because they're cowards. Amen. The devil ain't got no teeth, and he knows it. Amen. He's got to bluff you. Amen. He's a deceiver, which means he's trying to twist your mind to think that you're right.
Amen.
When you're wrong.
Amen.
That's right. Or the other way, trying to make you think you're wrong when you are right.
Amen.
Oh, I'm a sinner. I made these mistakes and stuff. You start believing the devil's lie. Well, there you go. You're going to act like a sinner.
Amen.
You can realize, no, devil, you're a liar. I was born again back here. I know that the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost. And he said he sealed me to the day of redemption. I'm going to make it anyhow.
Amen.
Because I have the blood. I have an atonement to take care of even that. And guess what? He died before I sinned one time. So he still died for this sin right here.
Yes, sir.
Praise his name.
Hallelujah.
Just one more time, Lord. 63. Satan has no more power only as he can bluff with it. If he can bluff you into it, all right, you'll have to have it. But legally, he has no power at all. Every power he had was taken from him at Calvary. That's where the price was paid. He is nothing but a bluff. If you want to listen to his bluff, well, all right. But you don't have to. You are free tonight. He has made you free. And now if something in the Word can make you realize that you are free by His grace, or if something realized in the Word makes you understand, or some act of God, that it included you, isn't that the problem? Oh yeah, Christ died for sinners. Christ died, but did He die for my sins?
He did. Amen.
Oh, Christ died that others could be, people could be healed. But did He die for your healing?
My healing.
Can you apply it to yourself?
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. That it included you, it included us all. Then you just accept it on those bases and you're free.
Amen. Amen.
You don't have to feel any different. You don't have to feel anything at all. It's not a base. Jesus never did say, did you feel it? He said, did you believe it?
Amen.
It's faith. Amen. That's our faith is an arm. A mighty arm that holds the two-edged sword of God, and the sharp two-edged sword will cut every promise free if the arm of faith is able to yield that sword.
Amen.
God is not asking any work out of us. He is asking us to believe.
Amen. That's right.
So as we look back in this seal real quick here, I'm going to finish this up pretty quick because there's only a couple more things here. There's a white horse rider. You know he's not Christ because first he don't have a name. He's not covered in blood. He's not bringing any power. He's got a bow with no arrows. And then after that, and a crown was given unto him. Remember in Revelation 19, he said he had a head of many crowns. Because when he comes back, it said that the saints will crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But this man's given a crown back here before the saints were even resurrected. What's going on? Can't be that way. Remember, St. Martin had the same thing. The devil came to him, actually in the form of Jesus. He had a crown on and said, Jesus, I'm your Savior. Fall down and worship me, Martin. And he said something in him said that just ain't right. There's something wrong about that. And that's when he remembered, no, the saints will crown him King of Kings. And that hasn't happened yet. It's the same right here in the Scriptures. And this crown that was given to him, what it was, is you can't take a doctrine and crown him. How are you going to put a crown on a doctrine? But this doctrine began to move into the church. And you watch the early Pentecostal church, they had signs and wonders, visions, miracles. The things that Jesus did, they were doing also.
Amen.
And then they started bringing this doctrine to make a form of religion, to make intercessors of people that are dead, and to stand have a priesthood separate from the laity. It's called Nicolaitanism, which is conquering the laity. Nico means to conquer, laity means the people. So they were taking this doctrine to where the people became powerless and they had all the power now. But God ain't going to stand for that. That ain't the way it was supposed to be. Look, church, I'm a sheep just like all the rest of you are. I'm a part of the laity even though I'm up here. There's no big eyes, no little ears. We are all one in Christ. We are part of one body. And if any of us are missing, ain't that right, Brother Ken? If anybody ain't here, you can tell.
Amen.
If you're part of a body now.
Yes.
But if you separate the body, oh, who cares? Do they pay tithes or not? That's all they care about, isn't it, anymore? Oh, as long as I can get the money, man, it just sickens me. I remember watching this thing about the TV evangelists that are out there, and I just know a couple of the names. They talked about all the sex scandals that they've come out with and all the fraud, the money frauds and all this stuff. There's even one man, I don't want to call his name, but you probably know who it is, and if you look these things up, he had been with a prostitute. And he got on TV, confessed, repented, you know, acted like he was going to go serve. 3 years later, he was with another one. You know what he said that time? He told him, ain't none of your business. What kind of repentance is that? But that's about the strength of most Christianity anymore, isn't it? And to think that that kind of religion started way back here with a little thought that said, yeah. Oh, I know the word says that, but
right.
Let's do this. And that started the whole ball rolling. If Satan gets you off the word in anything, before you know it, you will be so far out in the middle of nowhere believing all kinds of crazy stuff. Why do you think people in the message can end up believing polygamy?
Amen.
You take some and Satan will just enough to get you turned. And before you know it, you have to keep walking somewhere.
Right.
You can't just stand still. Look, we're moving ahead in time whether you want to or not. And if he can get you just a little bit off, there you go. Before you know it, you'll be doing all kinds of crazy stuff. He's got some people telling him that they got two souls. That they die their first soul, and since that man's dead, they can remarry some other woman because they're not even that soul anymore. That soul's gone. They're a new soul now. Foolishness. Nonsense. How do they get that? Not from the message itself, but because Satan twists one little thing and let them run with it. And that's what he's done the whole way through, and this is where it started. The early church had it, church. The Pentecostal church, the real one that fell on the day of Pentecost, they had every redemptive right working within them.
Everyone.
And all it took was one little deviation. And John said it in 1 John that the spirit of Antichrist was there. They knew it was around. It was starting to work. But they were resisting it. They were trying to keep this out. Keep it out. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. But eventually, you know, you get somebody who's got a better preaching style. They like his preaching. You know, it makes me feel good. Well, yeah, it's because he's lying to you. People don't like religion that tells them, hey, you might be doing something wrong. You might be sinning and you might need to repent. People don't want that. They want, well, as long as I put a 20 down, I can walk out of here and feeling good. Now, it doesn't matter that I murdered somebody. And look, you can murder somebody with your words.
Sure.
That's what Jesus said.
That's right.
And they'll act like, well, as long as I do that, you know, it's okay. And you know, this pastor come up and just pat you on the back and say, oh, brother so-and-so. And that's what they did the rich young ruler. He thought he was pretty good. He had turned down Jesus, but he didn't leave church now. He was still a good believer and stuff. And I'm sure when he died, they had a whole church full of people to come ceremony. He said, oh, our beloved brother, he was such a good Christian, you know, a good follower of the law and all this. And here he is watching that ceremony from hell burning.
That's right.
It don't mean nothing when you're deceived, church.
Right.
It don't. You say, well, I didn't know any better. Ignorance doesn't mean anything. Look, if you walk out there and you don't read the speed limit sign and you drive 62, there, a cop can pull you over. You go, well, I didn't know. I didn't know what the speed limit was. He goes, I don't care. That's the law of the land. It's going to be the same on Judgment Day. People are going to go, well, I didn't know. I didn't know. And he's going to say, I sent the word right down the street from you and you're too lazy to go down there and hear it.
Huh?
What do you mean you didn't know? I gave it to you. You didn't want it. Oh, God, send us people to change the world. And he goes, I did. You aborted all of them. People think that God don't do nothing. He just got his hands off. God is so intricately involved in everything. And he even knew that this was going to happen. And he already prepared a way out.
Amen.
He knew how bad it would get in the last days. To think that this white horse rider is still affecting people. That's why these seals, they're not certain like little time frames. Church, it's a revelation of how Satan can work. And we got to watch it in its purest form back there in the early ages. How they took the Pentecostal church, the real one now, right out of the Bible. I ain't talking about denomination. Took that and made it to the Catholic church. To where now you go show me any miracle. Show me any power in a Catholic church. Show me how you can even stay awake the whole time. The only reason you're staying awake is because you're standing up and kneeling down so much you can't fall asleep. Other than that, you just zonk around. Some people don't even make it. It's only 15 minutes, you know. But again, as long as you pay your tithes, you know, we'll have beer outside for the party later, you know, if you need to go watch your football and do what you got to do, you know. But, you know, that's all right, you know. And look, this is where it started. You take a seed. I'm telling you, even a hybrid seed, it'll look just the same all the way up. When it comes down to actually living, where you can take the next seed and plant it again, it won't do anything. What do you think these false doctrines are doing? They won't live. The people are starting to realize that. We take this and we give it to the people, but it doesn't live. The signs that Jesus said we're supposed to have, they're not here. And the ministry, I think, even the denominational world, they're starting to pick up. This ain't working. What's wrong? What's wrong? Is God has sent His word. He sent it through His prophet just the way He said He would in Revelation 10:7, and they rejected it.
Amen.
And if you reject God's grace, well, He said, how do we do the works of God? That's what they asked Jesus. How do we do the works of God? He said, believe on Him whom He has sent. So if God sends a man with the word of the Lord and you turn him down, you're done.
That's right.
Then you go, oh, why does a man get that kind of privilege? Let's go back to the days of Noah. What happened when you rejected Noah? Guess what? You died in the flood. I don't care if he didn't like Noah's haircut.
Yeah.
I don't care if he didn't like his family. His ark wasn't the right color. If you didn't believe him and didn't get on that ark, you perished.
Amen.
And we could go right on down the line, couldn't we, with Moses and Elijah and all the way down. You disbelieved them. Elijah was on a mountain one time. These 50 came up to him and he said, if I be a man of God, let fire fall down from heaven and consumed all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't turn down a man of God and expect to get out all right. That's what Israel thought they could do. They'd turn on a man of God and then everything would go to wreckage. And they go, oh, it's because we stopped worshiping this God. No, it's because you've forsaken the word of the Lord. Jesus said the same thing. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have hovered you as a hen doth her brood, but you would not. He said, how many times did I send you the prophets and you killed every one of them?
Uh-huh.
And we think, oh, the prophet Isaiah, what a mighty man of God. Do you know how he died? They sawed him in half.
That's right.
God in simplicity. They never recognize it until it's too late.
Right.
And if you're looking back in a rearview mirror and you're starting to recognize things and you can't apply it to right now, you're missing it. God is an on-time God. God is an I am God. He's not in the past. He's not in the future. He's always now.
That's right.
And if you can't see that these seals are here now, this revelation was given to us now. Look, Satan can still use the white horse on you. He can get you on a little doctor and take you off. That's all he needs. Anything to get off. And we'll get to what the other horses are here in a minute. But that doctrine of Nicolaitanism, it's so evil. It's so bad. God turned around and said, I hate it.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Dawson. Out of the mouth of babes, that was perfected praise.
Amen.
Why? You don't take no thought to it. You heard something good? Say amen. It feels good.
Amen.
Do good for your soul sometimes.
Amen.
God, I can only find time God said he hated things not too often. Now, I remember him saying he hated Esau, because remember there was like a list of 9 things or something that he said the Lord hates this, a lying tongue and hearts that cause division. But he turned around and says, I hate Nicolaitanism. I can't stand it. And I'm the same way. I can't stand the Spirit of Christ in me. Hates that. When somebody thinks, oh, because I've got this and that, we can cut off all these people and separate them on and we're it. Everybody else is done for. That's what it does. That's what it leads to. And you tell me that ain't the truth. Yeah, right. You go to a Methodist church for a while, you realize if you don't believe Methodist doctrine, you're done. They won't tell you that right away, but you get fellowship for a while. We ain't got a chance if we don't believe this, according to them. But God is one standard. He's always been the same. It'll never change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is His word. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away, and you'll always be heading the right direction. Always. And that's what this first seal does. It shows us that Satan's first tactic is to bluff you. He makes it innocent to try to get you just on a little thought. Try to make it, because he knows that it works. It works a lot of times on people, especially here in America. Look, we can get by. Even if you're not serving God, usually you can find a way to make ends meet and things. But in other countries, if they don't have God, they're going to die. You know, like we get sick, oh, we might be able to go to the hospital and get well and stuff. But if they get sick, they realize, well, I'm out here in the middle of the desert somewhere. If God don't help me, I'm done.
Right.
So Satan don't attack them like he does us. He'll attack us more on the intellectual level a lot of times. That's what this white horse rider was. So we look here again. I'm going to finish this real quick here. You're enjoying the word this morning.
Amen.
Amen. I usually don't go this long, but I really want this to hit home hard. Remember, okay, verse 2 again, let's finish that out. He says, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And I'm going to read this real quick. Come out of the first seal. It says, notice when Nicolaitan, Antichrist is finally, he's incarnate in a man, then he's crowned. Where he starts off as a Nicolaitan spirit in the church, he's a spirit, you can't crown a spirit. But 300 years later, he become a pope. And you can put a crown on a pope. And then they crowned him. He had no crown to start with, but he got a crown later, see? When that spirit become incarnate, see? He become a man. Nicolaitan doctrine became a man. And then they could crown it. They couldn't do it because he was just a doctrine. So that shows you why he started without a crown. You know what would happen if that little thought would have told them the very first time, hey, we're going to take a man and we're going to put a crown on him and set him up in this place and we have to listen to everything he says or we're not going to make it. Do you think it would have went over very well if they would have started like that? No, they came in on the white horse. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if, you know, we just had somebody to kind of watch out for things? You know, I mean, we can't always be everywhere. Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody we could just go to and kind of intercede for us and to realize, no, there's one intercessor between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. It was him the whole time. We don't need anybody else. We've already had the atonement made. A man can talk to God one-to-one. We don't need anybody in the way.
Amen.
But see, they took that little thought. Before they knew it, they had it pushed. They kept pushing. They kept pushing until now they got a man standing with that spirit in him and they could crown him. And that's what this crown was. A crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And as we're reading that second seal, remember, he was bluffing then. He couldn't do nothing. He didn't have any power of the state, but we're reading the second seal, he starts to get power. Not spiritually power now, but natural power, to where if you don't adhere to him, he will get you killed. What do you think the Inquisition was all about? What do you think the Dark Ages was all about? He went forth conquering and to conquer. And how did he conquer? Through fear. Through intimidation, through if you don't believe this, you're lost. And if you don't pay this, you're not going to make it. Things that were never in the Word. A man is saved purely by faith in the blood of Christ. And God identifying that man is saved by sealing him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's it. No more. No less. That's the plan of salvation. So you say, well, if that's Satan's weapon, Nicolaitanism, where he comes in and he conquers, he divides, and he makes you adhere to a man instead of God, what's God's weapon? What did God use to conquer the world? Watch this. 57, the great and mighty conqueror. That's what it takes. That's the material that the church has got. What a weapon. There's never been one like it. He was the Word, and then he was born in a manger. He come to use the weapon of L-O-V-E.
Love.
Amen.
Love to conquer the world. Not with army bullets, not with machine guns and tanks, but he come in a different manner. He come in the form of love. He was God's love. So as this church, we can see this white horse rider. He's deceiving. He's intimidating people. He's making them feel like they have to adhere to his little personal beliefs. Realize the Church of God was never founded on anything like that. It was founded on the basis of love. Even Napoleon himself said, Christ has these followers and they'll give their lives for him. I'm paraphrasing, of course. He says, you know, I have to use fear and intimidation and keep the armies together. And, you know, we got to, you know, really hold it with an iron fist. And yet, Christ never fought for any of them. He just loved them. And they'll give their lives for him. He says, they don't even fight. They don't even put up. They'll just serve him no matter what. Because love will conquer anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Not real love. The real love of God is the only thing that can conquer sin in your life. When you realize that you had nothing to offer him. You had no good. You had no works you could bring. That's what the Catholic Church was trying to bring in. We could do this, this, and this to get God's favor. And they said, no, you cannot. A man is justified by faith. Believing in what Christ did for him.
Amen.
That's the first seal revealed, church. A church that doesn't walk in Nicolaitanism. Doesn't walk powerless either. But has a strong hand of love that can cut through anything the devil ever brings. Hallelujah. Stand together. Simplicity of God's word in this day. I so appreciate it. I so appreciate that we can see these things so freely. We don't have to try to work it up and think and do all these things. We just believe what he said and it comes through every time. I'm so grateful for the Lord. Are you happy to be a Christian today? Can we give him a hand clap of praise for those that are happy to be Christians? Thank you, Jesus. And it's hard with hindsight to think, you know, would we have fallen for that deception in the first seal? Well, the prophets still didn't understand it all the way until the seals were open. We'd have been in the same boat. We'd have been thinking, well, that's probably Christ. But God in His mercy said, I will not leave it that way. I will send my messenger in the last day, and He will show that this is true. That is the Antichrist, and Christ is over here. I am so grateful to know who He is. I so love mercy and grace. Can we sing that? It's number 302. First, as we turn there, I'd like to bow our heads for a minute. Just going to get your place there in the book, though, and be ready when we sing. But if there's anybody has a need, maybe even you're like, Lord, I don't know if I quite understood everything, but I know that even Brother Andrew can't give it to me, but I know you can. If you have any desire, any need, just a closer walk, just a healing in your body, peace. The devil's got you believing this, that, or whatever, and you go, Lord, I just don't think that's just right. I believe if you lift your hands to Him, He's faithful. He'll come by your way. He's done it so many times in even this little place in a matter of 5 months that I know He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, church. If you have a need, raise it to Him. I'm going to lead in prayer, but you can pray anyway. You feel led to. Lord Jesus, we love You. We appreciate You, Lord. We thank You that You didn't leave us out here on a limb of confusion, but You sent a revelation of the Word to show us who we were in You, to show us what the devil was, Lord, and how to resist him, Lord, and to stay with Your Word. We're grateful for that we don't have to walk around blinded, but You have given us sight freely. Lord, that we didn't even earn it. We didn't even try to get it, but Lord, You came by in Your grace and reached Your hand out to us and pulled us in, Lord, and all we did was say, amen, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We're so happy to be Your children. I pray if there's one soul here that needs healing this morning. Lord, You've already paid for it back there on the cross, Lord, and I pray that their faith would raise to the level where they can receive it and walk out of here well. Yes. There's one soul in here that hasn't been sealed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Lord. I pray You to erase even our thoughts, Lord, to even think that a man would deceive himself. But Lord, You show us. You show us where we're at, Father, that we can walk closer to You. You can show us the next step, Lord. If we're on the wrong path somewhere, Lord, You're the only one that can show us the right thing. I pray that revelation strike the people today. Lord, we pray for Brother Ernie. Lord, a man that's trying to serve You, Lord. He's out there in the mission fields trying to spread the Word. We pray that doors be open to him, Lord, and that many souls might be saved through that ministry, Father. Thank You for all that You've done for us, Lord. Thank You for the service this morning. Thank You for the patience of the people, even dealing with me this morning, taking my time a little bit, Lord. But I believe it was Your grace. You're trying to give us Your Word, Father, and we're just hungry little eagles. We want to eat every bit of the Word we can this morning. We love You. We appreciate You, Lord. Receive our worship now, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask You. Amen. Love, mercy. Oh, let's worship Him now. Give Him praise. Thank You, Jesus. Did you see those things in His face? I saw love, mercy, and grace. Thank You, Lord. I envision His beauty. I looked on His face. I saw love, mercy, and grace. Oh, can we close our eyes and picture Christ and just see these things in His face? I saw love, mercy, and grace. He's reaching His hands out to Your church. He just loves You. I so love mercy and grace. I envision His beauty. I looked on His face. I so love. Yes, Lord. Lord, you just feel His presence around. Give me that hand of love. Thank You, Jesus.
Oh, I saw love, mercy, and grace. I saw love, mercy, and grace. His beauty, I looked on His face.
more time with our hands raised to Him now. Worship Him with your whole heart.
I saw love.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mercy and grace. I saw love. Mercy and grace. I envision His beauty. I looked on His face. I saw love, mercy, and grace.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to 258. Word, A flat. 258. Oh, isn't He worthy this morning? Thank you, Jesus.
Worthy. Oh, worthy.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Oh, worthy.
Serve Him with all your heart tonight, this morning.
I'll serve Him.